Ah, yes, that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time to talk to our good friend, Predators TV analyst Chris Mason. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in, Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer, and Smoky Mountain Tops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. C-Mace, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Yeah, doing great. Just hanging out with the dog outside and just enjoying the nice morning.
Predators continue to vibe. It was beautiful last night, C-Mace. 5-2 against the Blackhawks. What did you think of that effort from the Predators last night?
I loved it. I really thought against Chicago the start was important. They've been getting down early in the hockey games, and they really came out, and I think they set the tone. You know, in the first period, then they took a couple penalties, and that's what really changed the momentum. And I think anytime, you know, if you're playing Chicago 5-on-5, they're a much better team. You know, the Predators were dominant, and Chicago got, you know, a few stretches. But if you give, you know, if you give the Blackhawks, you know, an opportunity on the power play, I think that's when they can kind of get back into the game and give you some problems. And they did that for a little bit. But I think, again, you know, second period back and forth, Juice was good, Lankinen was good. I thought the goaltending was really good in that game. And then I love the start of the third period. You know, Chicago comes within one. And, you know, it's anyone's game in the third period. You come out, play a good game. Chicago can win a game and pull one out of Bridgestone. But they came out, and, you know, Colton Sisson's line and just the way that they get in on the forecheck. And that's their game. And you see it's bleeding into the other lines. They're starting to play like that. Matthew Shane was hitting. Eric Hall was out there hitting everything. And you know, that goal and that first shift right away really set the tone for that period. And after that, Chicago didn't really stand much of a chance. So I thought it was a pretty dominating performance, in my opinion. And it's just, I guess a nice way to come home from Carolina, make some adjustments, and you know, beat a game that, you know, that team that's only 2 points behind you with a game in hand. So I thought that sent a pretty clear message that the Preds are in it to win it here.
Well, you mentioned Duchesne, Chris, two games back. You could tell by his reaction last night. You know, I mean, he could have used a goal. He got one. What do you think about how he's played in those two games?
You know what? And this is the one thing that, you know, I know John Hines had talked to him before he came in the lineup. Probably every guy that gets in the lineup, obviously Matt Duchesne's going to get in. He's a star player. He's very capable of really helping this team a ton if he gets his game going. And I think you saw earlier in the year, he had a ton of chances. He was snake bitten, you know, and it started to become a thing. Started probably trying to wear on him a little bit. But I think right now, the one thing that John tells even all his star players is, look, he's like, just don't worry about the goals. Don't worry about, if you play the game the right way, I promise you the offense will come. And sometimes for offensive guys, that's hard to believe. You're like, oh, really? Yeah, I'm gonna go back out and be the third guy high, and that's gonna help me score goals. But you've seen the evidence of that. They've been watching. You know, Matt missed 22 games. He's been seeing teams score more goals without some of their best players in lineup. Why? Because they're playing the right way. And I really feel that, you know, it's easier now that they've established who they are as a hockey team. For, you know, you bring one guy back, they've seen that it's their recipe for success, and it is their recipe for creating more offense. And for him to, he's out there working right away. He's not what I would call an anasthenist. Like, the guy was a goalie nerd. He's a hockey nerd. Like, he just loves the game. He watches it. He knows all the equipment guys wear, and he just loves the game so much. So it's hard enough for anyone, but for him, probably hard enough, you know, missing this game, and he just wants to get back so bad. So for him to get a goal like that, where he's standing right in front of the goalie, not beside the net, he's not waiting for a little tap in, he's in the hard area. He's out there laying the body. I saw that right off the bat. He laid about two or three hits in the first period. So he's in. He's bought in, and he's doing it. And it's a good thing. And for him to get rewarded, you know, those goal scorers need a goal. They need that confidence, and there's nothing better than that puck going in the back of the net, no matter how it's done.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman Tractor and by Smoky Mountain Tops. C-Mace, obviously another good game from Saros last night, and the Predators 6-0 against the Blackhawks. Saros has just been incredible the last few times that he's played them. From your vantage point, you know, kind of going back to your playing days and looking what's happening right now with Saros, can a goaltender get in another team's head? Like, I think of Dylan Strome a couple of times, the last time that the Predators played the Blackhawks, He had like seven grade A looks, didn't score on any of them, had another couple of good looks last night, and just can't buy one right now against UC Soros. Can a goaltender get in an entire team's head? And do you think Soros is doing that right now?
Oh, for sure. You do things that are out of character. You change your approach because you think just a normal shot won't be good enough. So you might try to hold on a little bit longer to get a better angle, or hope that he, you know, goes down and it'll somehow open up the net, or you don't shoot in a good chance when you, even if it's a good scoring area, because you know, you've been conditioned to think, well, that's probably not going in. So maybe I need to pass this. Maybe I need to put this back door. And it definitely does. And it's only, you know, it's only a split second of hesitation, and that's all it takes. And I've seen that. I've seen Soros do that within games against certain teams. By the end of the game, they're kind of changing their decision-making process when they get in good scoring areas. And that's because when you get a lot of good chances and they don't go in and they don't go in, they don't go in, you don't think it's good enough. You know, that scoring chance isn't good enough. We're not going to score on that, so I have to try to create something better. And I definitely think he's done that with some of the Blackhawk players, Strome in particular that you mentioned. Yeah, he's probably, that kid probably have five more goals if it wasn't for Soros this year. But he's definitely, I mean, he's playing at just an epic level. Like, I don't, maybe we'll try to maybe illustrate that statistically on the broadcast, but the level that he has kept his game at, and it's amazing. He's the hottest goaltender in the National Hockey League. He's the best goalie right now in the National Hockey League.
So Chris, it's been a fun story to see Tanner Jeannot come in, get a couple goals. You know, these are always fun stories, and you know, sometimes a guy just he works and he gets an opportunity, taps one in, things like that. But I feel like we're seeing a really nice young player out there, maybe announcing himself. Is that an overreaction? I mean, what do you think about him so far, just overall?
I think he's been awesome. I think when you first come in, you know, to the league, and you know, you're trying to make an impression, he gets, you know, we've called it the herd line. They've created an identity, and they've got a big responsibility. John Hines starts these guys, you know, at the start of hockey games. They started that third period, and that's a badge of honor for these guys, and it's a huge responsibility. And so a player like Tanner Jeannot is going to come in, he's like, you know what, I'm a physical guy, I'm going to show my physicality, and you still have the nerves. But once the nerves settle in and you get a couple games and you really think to yourself, you really believe to yourself, you know what, I can play at this level. You know, there's a moment in time, I think, when a player has, and everyone goes through this, is before you get to the NHL, you're like, oh man, I think I can play, but you just don't know. And one game isn't going to cut it. But once you get a couple under your belt and you realize, hey, it's the same game, they're just a little bit better, they're, you know, a little bit quicker, a little bit more responsible, all of the things are just a little bit better. But once you click, you know, it starts to slow down for you a bit. And you start to, you know, you start to use some of the skill set that he has, that when he was lighting up the America League, and he starts to make plays and he starts to go to the net, and, you know, you're not so panicked out there. And he's one of these players, every team wants the guys that have the physicality and the scoring ability that Tanner Jeannot has. You know, they're just so valuable to teams because there's not a lot of guys like that anymore. You know, the Jamie Benn types of players that are big and strong and skilled and can score. And I'm not saying necessarily he'll be in that category, but he does have a lot of that, you know, same kind of attributes. And it's rare and it's valuable. And I think you're seeing that more and more. The league is getting more skilled, but it's also getting less physical. So when you have those physical guys, you can make an impact. This Predators team, Tanner Jeannot and everyone else in the company, is the first team that I would say has had, in more often than not, when they go into the games, that they've got the physical advantage. And even against Dallas, they didn't back down from Dallas. And in years, these last recent years, I think that's been the difference in that series with Dallas, is they own the physical edge, and not anymore. And it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch a team go out and play with their heart, and everybody's working hard, and they're out there in the physical battles, and they're winning them, and they're intimidating teams now. You know, that goal that Tanner Jeannot scored was a direct result. They get in on the forecheck, Trennan's in, our assistant's in there, hitting, all of a sudden the defenseman just gets back to the puck and he rims it around the boards. Ryan Ellis is sitting on the other side waiting for it. They're just forcing teams into turnovers and making mistakes, and it's just a beautiful thing. That's playoff hockey. That's the best part about it.
See, Mace, last thing for you here. I mean, last night it's a three-goal game. Granlund still ends up with 23 minutes of ice time as a forward. And we've talked a lot about Soros, obviously, and Roman Josi and the run that he's been on. How much credit do you give Mikael Granlund for this turnaround we've seen from this team and just kind of the stabilizing force he's been in all three zones for this group at forward?
Well, he's the guy that, you know, what situation is it? You know, put him out there, right? That's the guy you always look, well, hopefully Granny's rested because we want him out there in every situation, whether it's offensive, defensive, whatever it is, penalty kill, power play, you want Mikael Granlund on the ice. He's been the one guy, you know, that I really pointed to early in the season where I didn't necessarily think that everybody was working every single night, you know, collectively. I think we all knew that. It was pretty obvious that not everybody, you know, brought that level of work to get, you know, to the rink every day. And he's the type of guy that it's in his DNA. It's just who he is. He can't help it. It doesn't matter whether the team's playing bad or whether they're going through a tough stretch. He's going out there. He just can't help it. He's going out there and he's working as hard as he can. He's sacrificing. That's the kind of guy, that's the kind of character that I think, you know, as a team, you should just embrace that. That's the identity that they wanted. I think now, finally, we're seeing more guys, obviously, in the last, you know, few weeks here, month and a half here, really get on board. And it's been a huge part of their success. But you said it, yeah, over 23 minutes. I mean, as a forward, that's crazy. That's defensive minutes. But it really goes to show you the trust and the value that, you know, that they have for Mikael Granlund, because he's just a heart and soul player, that's for sure.
Preds TV analyst Chris Mason has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Tennessee's largest Kubota dealer, and Smoky Mountain Tops, the exclusive partner of the Nashville Predators. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. See, Mace, appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, brother. Great stuff as always.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Absolutely. You as well. When we come back, we'll react a little bit to what C-Mace had to say there. Get back into the Preds. Demolition of the Blackhawks last night as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We're vibing, Robbie. Vibing. 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 Vibe, 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 vibe. We're vibing, Robbie.
Yes, the vibe continues last night for the Nashville Predators. 5-2 winners against the Chicago Blackhawks. They improved to 6-0-0 against Chicago this year. The second time in franchise history they've won at least six games against Chicago in a single season. The first time coming, I believe, in 05-06. So it's been a really good run for the Predators against the Blackhawks, and they're going to try to keep it going this week. Now, Joe, last night, the standings did change a little bit. The Predators, they built up a four-point lead on the Blackhawks, but also Dallas gets a win in a shootout against the Red Wings. So Dallas jumps past Chicago. Now the Stars in fifth place in the Central Division, 3 points behind the Predators with three games in hand as well, and three games coming up later this week against the Red Wings. So if you're a Predators fan, hoping for a little help from the Red Wings in regulation at some point.
That would be a big help. It's also worth noting that Dallas's last seven games are on the road. Nine of the last 12 are on the road. They still have three with Tampa Bay and two with Carolina.
Yep.
Now, the Preds also have two with Carolina to end the season at home, which could be big. But it does get tougher here for Dallas moving forward. So even if they clean up on the wings this week, all is not lost.
And you still have a head-to-head with the Dallas Stars coming up as well.
You have one game also here. So
you talk about a big game. That one's going to be pretty big as we move forward here.
Hey, text line. Here's something I hadn't thought of. Any thought that Hines' style of play, big forecheck, blocking shots, very physical, has been a factor with the injury problems this year? That's from Frank.
I understand the question. You think back to Ryan Ellis' injury. He got hurt blocking a shot. So I think that's – I don't know if that has to do with Hines' system rather than it is –
That's a hockey
just
thing.
Getting in front of the puck and blocking the shot.
Is there any team that wins anything of consequence without guys blocking shots?
No.
Right.
Well, I think this year what I would put more of it on is probably just the schedule. I mean, I think you're seeing a lot of injuries around the league. You're playing every other day.
Basketball, too.
Yeah, I mean, you're playing every other day. You have been for 2.5-3 months at this point. So I think I would probably blame the schedule the most for the injuries that we've seen. And sometimes – look, sometimes just crazy stuff happens, and you go through a rash of injuries in the year. Like, I think back a couple years ago, or maybe it was last year. I mean, Columbus, at one point in the season, they had like 14 guys out of the lineup. Like, sometimes things just happen, and that's the way that the season shakes out for you. But I don't think there's a direct correlation in most cases from the style of play that you have and the system that you bring to the table and just getting hurt. Sometimes it's just fluky.
I might even go a step beyond that and go with the Derrick Henry philosophy, Frank, that if you're the aggressor and you're laying the hits and you're hemming a team in on the forecheck, you're more likely to hurt them than you, right? So, yeah, I don't. But it's been a while since John Hines was blamed for something. So
it's true.
It's good to throw that in.
I'm just trying to
go
through the injuries in my head, like that we know what happened. Like Duchesne got cross-checked in the back, so that has nothing to do with.
Yeah,
and the way he's just in front of the net, got cross-checked.
There's really very little style of play correlation at all with all the things that have happened to Arvidsson. It's just people trying to kill him,
trying to destroy him.
Yeah.
And he keeps on chugging along.
And his style of play is just he annoys the heck out of people.
Yeah.
So in any system, Victor Arvidsson is going to be a target.
Tanner Janot, another goal last night. What'd you think of that? And, you know, it's interesting. I put out my lineup last week when some of these healthy bodies start to come back in the lineup. I did not have Tanner Janot in that lineup. The more I watch that kid play, the harder I think it's going to be for me to take him out, be for John Hines to take him out. I mean, he was laying hits within the first 25 seconds of the game last night, ends up scoring the goal as well. He's been really impressive so far.
See, Mitch just thought a Jamie Benn reference there?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, well, listen, it's amazing that you can lose Olivier and then just, here you go. Because Olivier, I mean, I thought that line had something special going with Trent and Sissons, Olivier. Then you just throw in Janot, and I think he looks pretty good.
He does.
Like, I don't think I want to mess with that line. That line does something for me. So you could always have like a more skilled fourth line because you have people coming back. But I'm not messing with that. That's an important part of this team.
I don't know what line you are messing with right now. Like, I mean, the second line with Granlund and Yarncroke and Cunning. I mean, Yarncroke and Cunningham have a goal and assist last night, and Granlund has two assists, and they were just awesome. I mean, we talked about Granlund with C-Mace. He had 23 minutes. That's a lot of minutes for a forward. I mean, Connor McDavid played 27 last night, and that's just freakish. But 23 minutes for a forward, that's a ton of minutes.
That's a heavy night for defense.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that John Hines trusts him at forward more than he trusts anybody else. Like, he puts Granlund in every possible situation.
Right. I mean, he's a massive part of the penalty kill.
Yeah.
He's on the he's in everything. So, yeah, I don't know. Who do you – I mean, Rocco Grimaldi?
Maybe.
I mean, it's just like – it's a numbers game. Some guys have to sit.
And he's on first line right now.
Right. But when Forsberg and Tolvanen come back, I mean, that's – I mean, he's one, right?
Yeah. I would think so.
Who's the other?
Tanner Janot?
No way, man. Cousins? Not touching that line.
I don't know. It's a tough decision.
Yeah, maybe Cousins.
Maybe. Although, they love Nick Cousins.
Well, Cousins is – he gets people mad, too.
Yes, he does.
With good reason.
I think Pete Weber refers to him as a hockey dermatologist, which I love. That's good. Getting under the skin.
Classic.
What'd you think of that? It's pretty good, huh?
That is pretty good.
And then, of course, last night, Preds picked a click. I mean, my goodness. Cali Yarncroke scores. Matt Duchesne scores. Victor Arvidsson, the listener from yesterday, he rings one off the pipe. Granlund, the best player on the ice, to assist. I don't even remember a shot he had. I'm sure he had one. But he was just dishing it to everybody else last night.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's not like, at least he didn't like almost score a goal, like hit a post, or get some ridiculous save. So he was great.
He was awesome.
I mean, I feel like you should get some kind of, you know, like half credit for that.
It's almost like a curse at this point. So now the competition. Pors got three, and Preds picked the click.
You should have seen the look on Joe's face when he realized it was Duchesne who scored that goal last night.
I mean, it looked like Hall at first.
Yeah, I couldn't tell.
Double deflection for Matt Duchesne.
When Duchesne was leading the line back through to fist bump the players, I had tapped Joe on the shoulder. I'm like, that was Duchesne's goal. And he was like, oh, my God.
So you're at seven. The listeners are at seven. Ryan Pors is at three. I'm at one. Like, I feel like Pors' lead on me is now insurmountable.
It's not, though.
Going for you, Joe.
He's still hanging for
behind
me. The
problem for him is, like, every time that he gets one, you get one, too. So he's not really making up any ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. but anything's possible.
I was kind of hoping last night's Duchesne goal got switched to Holla. I was mentally hoping
for that. I'm sure you were. If they get to the playoffs, then we're going to keep doing this. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, why not? I mean, if they make a run to the cup, who knows? I mean, you could win. You could win this thing going away by the time it's all said and
done.
That
is true. There's still time left on the table. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jim from Nolensville, who wants to weigh in on the Preds. Jim, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, I called before the trade deadline defending Granlund that we should keep him, and I was down on Poyle for these contracts and such, but I think he's saved his job, and he did a good job of keeping firm and keeping Granny. And I still think maybe Johansson ought to be moved, but I haven't heard any of the station personnel, and including Mark, who I like. You guys haven't backed off your... I haven't heard anything about backing off of trading Granlund for the draft picks.
Well, I mean, I still think you could have gotten pretty good value out of Granlund. Like, to me, it comes down to, are you signing Granlund to an extension or are you not? Because if you go through this run here, you don't win a Stanley Cup, and you lose him, you're always going to look back and say, all right, well, what could you have gotten for Granlund? And I have no clue what the compensation was for Granlund, what David Poyle was offered. I think he made it pretty clear in his press conference comments and with his comments here with Darren Donica Chase last week that he was offered Granlund, and he was receiving phone calls from Matias Ekholm as well. So I don't know exactly what the offers were. But to me, I mean, the story changes a little bit if you can keep Granlund in the fold and he can be a part of your team as you move forward. If it doesn't, I think you're always going to look back and say, all right, well, that was fun. It was a good run. What could you have gotten for Granlund had you decided to trade him at that point?
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that, Jim, a lot about it. And I think we're on the same page on that. You know, it's interesting talking about this after last night's game, and you were just talking about how much he played. Like, if it, during that process, and of course GMs and coaches talk, I would love to have been a fly on the wall in the room when Poyle said, so, John, if we trade Granlund, what would our chances be of making the playoffs?
Yeah.
Like, what do you suppose, like, Hines would have said? Or what would the expression have been on his face, you know? I mean, it's pretty obvious. He trusts him as much as he trusts any player on this team. Like, Yossi and Granlund.
He loves him. I mean, what's not to love right now? He's playing awesome. He's been great. So I imagine if John Hines had any say in the matter, it was, yeah, let's hold on to this guy. See if we can't keep him here long term. But there's still more of this puzzle to get figured out. Like, to the discussion we had earlier in the show about Duchesne, like, it's still very difficult for me to imagine you're keeping Johansson, Duchesne, and Granlund, unless Granlund just comes in a lot cheaper than I anticipate he's going to, which I guess is possible in this offseason, but it's difficult for me to imagine them making that work when you also factor in Forsberg's extension and Ekholm's extension. I mean, there's a lot of decisions that you've got to make coming up, but it's obvious he is the key cog at forward right now.
Yeah, and look, if they do end up retaining him, if they do end up re-signing him, he wants to be here, he thinks he fits here great, he loves Nashville, whatever it is, then I think it's a lot easier to digest that move a week ago.
Well, I think it justifies it, yeah. I mean, if you're convinced you can get him to stay here and he ends up staying here, I have no problem with the move. I think if you look through the lens here, and remember, those top three teams, you still have struggled. Your record's not good against Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Florida. If you don't make a good run here in the playoffs and he's gone next year, what did you really get out of it? That's going to be the question you've got to ask moving forward. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators. Get to some of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Charles Robinson joins us every week at 9 o'clock on Tuesdays. We're going to have to reschedule, push that off to maybe tomorrow to get Charles on the show. So
maybe some breaking news going on.
So looking forward to that and looking forward to the conversation with Charles whenever he can work it out and we can get him on. So make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll keep you updated on when that's going to take place. Right now, talking all things Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, Matt Duchene last night finds his way onto the score sheet. He gets a goal, the first goal of the game for the Predators, and this is his second game back from injury after missing 22 games because of a lower body injury. And look, he's got 9 points in 25 games, the fourth goal of the season last night for Matt Duchene. He's getting paid $8 million a year. So, obviously, I mean, when we start talking about the future of the Predators and some of the players under big contracts that have a lot of pressure on them as they close out this season, as they head into the offseason, Duchene's name, if it's not at the top of the list, it is near the top of the list. When you talk about Duchene and Johansson and some of the decisions that David Poile and the Predators could have to make with the expansion draft coming up, you could tell when Duchene scored last night, there was a lot of relief in that goal. He celebrated and was very adamant in his celebration. He got to the front of the net, gets a redirection, kind of a double redirection from a shot from Matt Benning, from Eric Halla, back over to Duchene and in the back of the net. Do you think a goal like that, do you think the way the team is playing maybe can be a springboard for Duchene as they move forward here? We talked about, you know, the way he's got to play to be successful and how gifted he's been in his career at times in front of the net. Do you think this goal last night, when you factor in the way the team has been playing as a whole as of late, maybe gets him going a little bit here offensively?
Well, I think, like CMA said earlier, it's definitely an example of getting to where you want him to get. Yep. and that paying off for him. So, but I think he's come in and been really dedicated to doing that in two games. I think he's been active out there and has created some opportunities. So I think it's a good thing for this team to have him back in the lineup. I mean, this team still needs more offensive threats, to me, over the long haul or against the top teams. If you're going to try to beat some of them, you want to get in the playoffs, you want to try to make a run at one of those teams, you've got to have, you know, your offensive threats available. It's kind of like, you know, like the Blackhawks. Yeah, I agree with C-Mace. I mean, the Preds were a much better team 5-on-5. Blackhawks are lethal on the power play. And that's been like a top 5-ish power play all year, right?
Yep.
I mean, to me, like, if you get into a playoff series, that's where the Preds, if you get Forsberg-Tolvin back, that's where the Preds would be able to maybe compensate, is by getting that going again. So that's not necessarily the Duchene discussion, but the point being, you need these offensive scores, you know, back in your lineup, and it's a good thing to have him back. And I don't know what he can do here other than just go nuts to change that bigger narrative you're talking about. But you also, you know, if you're a Preds fan, you don't want to see Matt Duchene go off to Seattle and all of a sudden have like five straight, you know, 70-point seasons here, and all of a sudden you wonder what happened.
Well, it's just interesting because, like, Saturday when it was announced he was coming off the injured reserve and he was coming back in the lineup against Carolina, I mean, the reaction on Twitter was really interesting to me. Like, it wasn't a, you know, total just panic that he was coming back in, but there was a whole lot of, oh, okay, it's Matt Duchene coming back in lineup. Like, normally, under normal circumstances, if your team's been playing as well as the Predators have, you get a star player coming back, a guy that's been productive in his career offensively, the fans would be like, okay, this team's rolling along great. You can get more firepower coming back in here with Matt Duchene. I think there's a lot of the Preds fan base that, number one, they wanted to see the youth movement anyway, and now by default they've had to see it based on the way the injuries have happened. The young guys have come in and have played really well. And I do think there are a lot of Preds fans that were wondering, and maybe are still wondering, all right, as you start to get some of these guys back, these veteran guys like Matt Duchene, do the ingredients that have made this group successful as of late, do those change at all with Duchene coming back in there? I think it's a fair question. I would hope if you're Duchene or Cunning or, you know, to a lesser extent, Forsberg coming back in, he's been a part of this, so I don't really include him in this discussion. But if you're a veteran guy coming back in, I mean, you know what's been going on. You've seen the way that they've played, what's been asked of the system, and how you are asked to go out there and play every night. Like, if you're not playing that way, to me, you kind of like stick out like a sore thumb with the rest of the group, and that's, you got to answer to your teammates at that point. So I really didn't worry about that with Duchesne. Like, I felt like it was pretty likely that when he came back in, you're going to see him play with his hair on fire. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to come in and, you know, light it up offensively, but I don't like, or I never really bought into the, hey, I'm worried about Duchesne just coming out there and just loafing it. Like, I never thought that was going to happen.
I didn't either, and I don't think that he was before. I think this team just collectively had not figured a lot of stuff out. Like, I don't look at Duchesne as like the issue from before.
Sure.
Do you?
No.
I
understand the frustration.
Right. Well, but Duchesne is being paid to do more than play with effort. He's being paid to be the guy at the top, you know, the guy who's scoring every night. So that's the – so I understand the apprehension of like, oh, this chemistry is perfect right now. You sure you want to mess it up? But – yeah, you still need in this lineup more threats. He's gonna play. I mean, look, I think last night was probably good because obviously his first game back, they lose. So there you go. Now more people can say, oh, and here they go. Now the first period of that game, I don't care who you had on the ice, that was as dominant a hockey period as I've seen in a while from the Canes. The Preds I thought were better in the second and third, and then they were really good last night. So. Maybe last night kind of quiets a little bit. Like, yeah, they're going to keep playing this way, and Matt Duchesne's not going to come in and, like, spoil the whole apple cart.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, do you think the Preds trade Cali Yarncroke after this year? I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Impossible.
There's no way they could trade Jodavion Rexcroke.
That's
right.
What
if you lost Clowney and Yarncroke in, like, a six-month stretch?
And they couldn't be together because there's no
team in Cleveland.
So yeah, no. Cali Yarncroke is.
I mean, he's been an integral part of the team this year.
He's leading the team in goals.
He's got 12 goals.
Yeah, you're not gonna mess with Yarncroke. No,
I mean, the contract is just so friendly.
Yeah,
I
mean, he's still at $2 million. Is that right?
Yeah,
yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
Yarncroke will be back.
Yeah, he'll be back. I don't think you've got to worry about that. Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter, Trevor, comes in and asks, could we possibly see Philip Tomasino make his NHL debut during this series with Chicago? What are your thoughts? Now, they did call him up to the taxi squad last week. We talked about maybe that being an option for the Predators against Carolina. I'd be surprised if the lineup changes. Like, if everybody stays healthy, I think you're probably just leaving this thing the way it is.
Right now. I don't know why you're doing that right now. I mean, you just scored 5 goals on Chicago. Everything you're doing is working. 5-on-5, you're dominating. And we've already talked about the difficulty of the lineup once you get Forsberg and Tolvanen back. So you're going to put in Tomasino for one of those guys right now? I don't see why. I know it'd be exciting for fans to be able to see him, and maybe at some point – he's in there out of necessity, but I wouldn't force that right now.
And maybe we'll get an update sometime this week on some of the injured guys with Forsberg and Tolvanen. Maybe that happens at some point. I tried yesterday. It didn't work.
No dice.
No dice yesterday.
Are we getting Hines this week?
I think so. Coming up on Thursday, yeah.
Well, there may be an update before then anyway.
Maybe we'll just get to the bottom of all of it on Thursday with John Hines.
Just give us an exact date, John, right now.
We'll continue the discussion on the Nashville Predators, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And speaking of the text line, 1025 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to give away a hockey home gating party, and it's time to text the word RINK to 615-737-1025. That's RINK to 615-737-1025. Now to enter for a chance to win a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. You must be 21 or older to enter, so make sure you get those texts in right now to 615-737-1025. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage on Thursday, April 29th and Friday, April 30th on 102.5 The Game, presented by Founders Brewery, Apple Collision Centers, Freedom Tire Guys, and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Be sure to join us on site as 102.5 The Game will be broadcasting live on Thursday, April 29th from 3rd and Home, Germantown's Bar with a ballpark, and on Friday, April 30th from Boom Boss, Craft Pizza, and Tap House in East Nashville. Just a little bit more than a week away from the NFL draft, so make sure you're joining us for that. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking all things Nashville Predators right now, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. John from Clarksville on the text line says, when it comes to the eye test, Duchesne is a much harder skater than Johansson. Joey half the time on the ice looks like he's putting in no effort, just standing around reaching for pucks and missing. Duchesne skates his butt off every shift. I know the stats say that Joey off the ice hurts the team, but his efforts look sloppy on most nights. What do you think of that John has thrown out there about Johansson and maybe the effort sometimes not looking like it's there?
I might be a little overstated there. I wouldn't say that it's always like a hair-on-fire desperation effort, but I think he's been playing pretty well.
I think he's played well as of late. Look, I think there are a couple things that work against Johansson in this discussion. Now, do I think he's always playing at his top gear? No. Do I think he's just out there dogging it all the time? No. Like, I think you got some guys that just chop it up, and they're pushing and skating. Like Rocco Grimaldi and Victor Arvidsson, they're moving and chopping it up and going at full speed all the time. Johansson, a lot of times, even when he's on, he's just kind of gliding.
Yeah, he's a glider.
He slowed the game down, and he's looking of where to go with the puck. So I think it comes off sometimes like he's just not skating hard doing that. He's just kind of reading on where he wants to go with the puck. And, I mean, let's be honest, the other part of this is he's about as goofy as it gets, and I think that personality, you know, can rub fans the wrong way when you're not producing. Like, everybody loves it when the vibe and stuff's going on. People love it. And when you're scoring and producing, you're the fun guy in the locker room, and everybody loves Ryan Johansson. But when you're not, people maybe, and I've seen this happen on Twitter all the time, they talk about how he doesn't care and he's just out there screwing around. He's not invested in the team, which I just don't buy that. Like, no. I think Ryan Johansson has been very invested in the team. Now, has the production the last year and a half been where you need it to be? No, it has not. And that's got to change moving forward with both him and Duchesne. And if it doesn't, you've got a real problem down the middle if you're the Predators. But I think this narrative that Johansson just doesn't put in effort, I think sometimes is a little overstated.
Well, it's like Yossi's too nice and his hair is too perfect, so he can't be a good captain.
Right.
You know, I mean, no one cares more than that guy. Everybody follows him. Everybody respects him. He's not a dude throwing people against the lockers. So Johansson, of course, obviously, we look at things differently. We like people who are colorful and say interesting things, yes, and don't act like robots when you talk to them, and that's Johansson, so he's a media favorite.
Yes.
But I've never thought, like, his care level was not there. It's just he couldn't figure out his, you know, his game last year.
It was, I mean, he talked about
majorly it. Frustrating year.
He spent, like, the entire break just, like, watching film of himself last year, trying to figure out what was going on.
Then so, he went to the bubble and was amazing. Dominant, and it's like, okay, now, so it's there.
And that's what, and that's the part of this discussion that I understand.
Yes.
And that's what I've tried to figure out as well. Okay, we've seen it in the playoffs. I mean, the dude was the best player for the Predators in the playoffs outside of Pekka in that run to the final in 2017. He was great again the next year in the playoffs. Like, we've seen him do it at a pretty high level when the games matter the most. And I get it. It's an 82-game season most years. You're not going to have your A game every night. You're just not. It's impossible to do in this league. You do need to have it more often, and you need to be able to put up more points. I've always said that I would like him to be more aggressive in terms of his shot. I think he's got a great shot. He doesn't use it enough. He's a great playmaker, and he has been for a long time. I understand the frustration with you see one level of Ryan Johansson in the playoffs. Why don't you see that more often in the regular season? I don't think that comes down to just strictly effort, though.
No, no. You know, the effort thing. The effort thing is...
In sports is way over.
Yeah. But there is still, you have to be at a certain level of effort. And it's at a level of effort that most people couldn't reach anyway. But then there is that other level of effort that I think this team collectively has been at for a while now, and that's harder to attain. But yeah, the Johansson stuff, it just comes down to, I think, for he and Duchesne both, I don't think there's any lack of care or trying or wanting to perform, or I got paid, so whatever. I don't think that's any there's any truth to any of that. But there is truth to here's your number, so here's what your numbers need to be.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. JD text in, says playoff Joey needs to come back soon. That would be nice if they could get point per game Ryan Johansson back. Look, I think he's been better lately. Now, has that always translated to points? No, but I think he's – I thought he was really good last night.
I did too. He almost made a couple ridiculous plays last night.
Yeah, I mean, he did have a puck in the slot where he kind of danced through the middle and tried a drop back pass. I would have loved to have seen him shoot the puck, and that happens a couple times a game. And at this point, that is what he is. He's looking for the pass, and I get it. He's very good at passing the puck. So I understand the frustration there, but I think Johansson in the last 10, 15 games – has been very similar to the rest of the team, and that's been their level has come up, and they played differently and played better.
So there were a few shifts with, or at least a couple, where Johansson and Duchene ended up, you know, together in between changes. Man, I was intrigued by that look. And there were actually a couple times where Johansson was looking for Duchene,
yep,
and they almost connected. I'd be really intrigued to see that a little bit. Johansson, Duchene, and
Arvidsson? I guess. We had somebody on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com ask, would you just swap Grimaldi and Duchene? Like, do you put Duchene in Grimaldi's spot right now, move Grimaldi down to the third line with Eric Hall and Nick Cousins, and just kind of roll with that and see what Duchene looks like on the wing with Ryan Johansson? Like, I don't think they're going to do that right now.
Because it worked fine last
night. Because
it
keeps working. So I think they're probably just going to leave the lineup alone on Wednesday. But, like, long term, the rest of this year, could you move Duchene to the wing somewhere? Like, I don't anticipate when Forsberg is healthy. Like, I don't think Jofa is coming back. Like, I don't think it's going to be a thing. So, I don't think Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson are playing together.
So, it'll be Granlund, Forsberg, and
so, you don't think Forsberg just slides on in where Grimaldi is right now? Let's say he's the next guy to come back.
I mean, if he does, I don't think Arvidsson stays there. Like, I think they've tried that line enough under Hines to where I don't know if they're going back to it.
I still am intrigued by it because sometimes, you know, again, it was just a year ago.
Now, maybe it is just you think, okay, the whole team's different. Let's see what they're like now playing together, but I'd be surprised.
So then I don't hate the idea of Duchene up there. I think it'd be interesting. So then you're talking about Granlund, Forsberg, Tolvanen.
Sign me up for that.
That happens.
What a line.
And Johansson, Arvidsson, Duchene.
Yeah. It's pretty intriguing.
It is. It's very different from what it looks like now.
Yeah. Well, you got to put them somewhere. Like, you're not putting Forsberg or Tolvanen on the third line.
I'm not touching the fourth line.
No.
So now so that leaves your third line looking like what? Looking like
I guess you're taking out Cousins and Grimaldi.
So you got Yarncroke, Cousins, Holla?
Be Yarncroke.
No, Cunnin's in there somewhere.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Somewhere, yeah. Too. Yarncroke, Cunnin,
Holla.
Holla. Yeah.
Holla, it's your boy.
Sorry, Cousins. Someone's got to go.
It's a good problem to have. I don't know if Tanner Janot is going to make it, but I'm with you. I don't know how you changed up that fourth line right now.
Don't touch it. Right? Come on. I'm not kidding.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing.
Whatever.
There's only a certain amount of spots.
You got that. They're obliterating people.
Like, immediately. I mean, they're starting games. Like, John Hines is just rolling them out there, saying, all right, here you go. You start. Set the tone. We'll keep going after that. Literally last night in the first 30 seconds, Trennan took like two runs at people, and Janot knocked the crap out of somebody on the first shift of the game. And you're like, okay, here they go. That forecheck's already started.
Right.
And the Predators were just rolling for 10 minutes.
And they score, too.
And then they scored on said forecheck and tenacity to start the third period.
Yeah. Look, I get it. I don't know how you take them out of the lineup either. I just know, like, Forsberg and Tolvanen are going to play when you bring them back in. So who comes out?
Yeah, sorry, Cousins.
I mean, they love him, too.
Yeah.
But I get it. I mean, that would probably be the way I would,
see, this
I would
is what, do. This is why you should have traded somebody. All you 13, do is trade some people.
13 forwards, 5 defensemen.
There you go.
Yeah, 13 forwards. That'd be great. See if you can pull that one off. John from Kentucky texts in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Says, listening on Twitter, is the ultimate goal to have Duchene play with Tolvanen and Forsberg? So what do you think, putting him back in the middle and saying, all right, here on your left is Forsberg, here on your right is Tolvanen, have at it.
Like I said this earlier in the show, you know, I had Brennan, my 13-year-old son, with me, and so we were, you know, you're trying to like, hey, like watch this guy. Don't just watch the puck. You know, and I was pointing out Granlin a lot. Like, watch what Granlin's doing here in the defensive zone. I'm not touching Granlin right now.
No, he's got to be in the middle.
He is. He does everything for this team.
23 minutes last night in every situation. I mean, it's – look, these are good problems to have if you're John Hines, but these are very tough decisions. And what you got to have in your back of your mind the whole time is, all right, if I make the wrong decision, is that going to totally derail everything that we've done up until this point and just mess with the mojo? Like, yeah, this is a tough balance.
You can always change things back, though.
You can.
And again, I think the biggest question was Duchesne.
Agreed.
So I feel like he's come right in and he's playing how they want him to play. So I don't think that's obviously you want the lines to be constructed well. Sometimes it doesn't work, but you can always switch it around if need be.
When we come back, we will switch gears and get back into the NFL draft. Trevor Lawrence made some headlines over the weekend about some tweets that he had with his love for the game of football. Do we blow that way out of proportion here when it comes to NFL draft and NFL draft prospects? We'll talk about that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.